Well, I'd like to invite your attention tonight, please, to the book of Psalms. Psalms 125 this evening. Psalms 125. Tonight we're going to read through and look at this entire psalm because all of the psalms that are in this portion of the book of Psalms were written to give us specific lessons about life. And we'll come to understand more of that as we look at it this evening. If you'll notice, it says Psalm 125, and underneath it, in your Bible, it will say something like this, a song of degrees. Or perhaps it will say a psalm or a song of ascents. For these songs were sung at a very specific time, and we'll learn about that. The Bible says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel. May we pray together. Father, how thankful we are tonight for the wonderful word that you have given to us. May the Holy Spirit use it tonight to work in faith and edification within our own hearts. Thank you that we have in you a sure and unshakable foundation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. My family and I, for 29 years, traveled and lived in what we know as fifth wheel trailers. And of course, we have spent a number of weeks in your church parking lot in the past. We have become connoisseurs of fine church parking lots. It was very common for us over the years to have the pastor's family come over, and I'm sure on many occasions we had your pastor's family over to have fellowship in our trailer after church. And on various occasions during those times, my wife would put a load of clothes into the washing machine. Our washing machine is probably half the size of a normal machine. And with four children and two adults, we were constantly running wash all the time. Well, when the wash would reach its full cycle, it would normally shake the trailer. Now, we were used to it. We knew what was happening. We were in the parking lot. We have six tires. We're not going anywhere. But the pastor and his wife didn't expect that. And on a few occasions, especially if there was something inside that would make it really bang good, you know what I'm saying, like a tennis shoe, you would feel the trailer shaking like this, and a frightful look would come over the face of our guests, and they felt like they were in the middle of an earthquake. And so I reassured them that it was only the washing machine. Everything is fine. In the life of every believer, you will experience numerous times of shakeups where you will go through cycles of changes in your life that will create fear and insecurity. And Psalm 125 was written for times like these. Psalm 125 is one of what we call the Psalms of Ascents. They start in Psalm 120 and they go to Psalm 134. Most of them are anywhere between 5 and 8 verses long. And these were actually songs that were sung by Jewish pilgrims as they made their annual trips up to the city of Jerusalem for their religious festivals like Passover, Pentecost, and tabernacles. Fact is, the trip that Jesus would have made, for he would have surely sung these psalms, started at his home up in Nazareth, and he made his way down Jerusalem, about an 85-mile trip by foot. And the most difficult and hard part of the journey was the last 15 miles. For you would come to the city of Jericho, 600 feet below sea level, and you would walk up to the city of Jerusalem, about 2,500 to 2,600 feet above sea level, and you would walk through the barren, dry wilderness straight up on narrow paths, dangerous paths, all the way to the city of Jerusalem. So what did they do on this journey? They would sing these songs as they were making their way up to the city of Jerusalem. Hence the title, Song of Ascents. As they were ascending up to the city of God, these are the songs that they sang. Now, these songs were surely sung by Jesus and his family. And what was the purpose of these songs? Well, they were intended not to just keep their mind off the pain of walking, but they were intended to teach and to edify the faith of pilgrims on their journey to the city of God. By the way, that's always the purpose of Christian songs. They are to teach and to edify our faith. And these psalms served as lessons in our journey as we are bound for the promised land. They are intended to be spiritual life lessons as we are persevering towards the kingdom, as we are marching to Zion. So tonight, let's look at this psalm, discover its lesson, and what it is that's trying to teach us. Let's begin, first of all, with the setting of the psalm. What's going on? Because there are background circumstances that people are experiencing, believers are experiencing, and out of these experiences, we learn our lessons. The setting of the psalm is actually found in verse 3. Notice what he says, "For the rod..." If you have a different translation, you may see the word scepter. "For the scepter or the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity." Most commentators believe that this psalm was written after the Jews came back from Babylonian exile. Now, if you know the history of the Jewish people, you will know that King David, who was the greatest king of Israel, lived about 1000 BC. For a little over 400 years, they lived under the kings of Judah in Israel until 586 BC, when the Babylonians, under their king Nebuchadnezzar, came and conquered the land, destroyed the city, tore down the walls of Jerusalem, and they took the children of Israel as captives, as slaves to Babylon. They lived in slavery until the king Cyrus, who was a Persian king, the Medes and the Persians, conquered the Babylonians, and under the reign of Cyrus, he allowed the Jews to go back to the city of Jerusalem and rebuild the Jewish temple, and so 50,000 Jews went back. Most commentators believe this was written during that time period under the two books in the Bible we know as the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah. So who was ruling the land? It was not the Jewish people, but it was being ruled by enemy occupation. The land had been allotted to the Jewish people as a gift from God. However, because of their sin, a kingdom of evil had conquered it. And now the people are living under the scepter, the rod, or the rule of the wicked. And here was the great fear of the people of God. And that is, notice what it says in verse 3, "For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity." The fear was this, that the evil king would so influence the people of God that they would turn to his wicked ways and it would ruin God's people. For example, why did the children of Israel go into captivity? Because they disobeyed God. Because they fell into idolatry. Because they sinned. So here they are back in the land. Who's ruling the land? The wicked. So what would be the natural fear of God's people? That the influence of the wicked would be of such a nature that their own people would adopt the ways of the pagans and fall into sin. One writer said it this way, "The psalmist's complaint is against a situation that, unless checked, could lead to what we call moral nihilism." What is moral nihilism? It is a rejection of religious and moral principles. The fear is the influence of the pagan society on the people of God so that they would fall into paganism. So, when the psalm was written, it was written in an atmosphere of fear that God's people will become like those who rule them and they will adopt the ways of the pagans. And so what kind of psalm is Psalm 125? There are 150 psalms. One-third of the psalms, 49 to be exact, are the same style. And that is, this is a psalm of lament. What is a lament? Well, you all know what it is because you do it. It is that internal struggle. It could be sorrow. It could be disappointment. It could be regret. It could be some kind of complaint. But it is living with this internal burden because of the circumstances of your life. And you are living with this burden and you are in your heart crying out to God. That's a lament. A third of the Psalms are psalms of lamentation. Why? Because God's people live with these kind of burdens all the time. So this psalm was written because of that fear. However, if you stop there, you don't get the whole message. Because not only is it a psalm of lament, but it's also a psalm of confidence. Because as you read it, you really don't come away with this feeling of grief and complaint. But actually, there is this sense of confidence. The tone is positive. It is so easy for us to be negative in a sinful world. And it reveals a society that is struggling with the weighty pressures of life, and yet the leaders are trying to encourage the people to pray. That is, when things look bad, God is still good. That divine security is ours in times of human insecurity. So what is this psalm all about? It is this, that God is our unshakable foundation. That in God, He is our protector. He is the one on whom we defend. All right, let me just stop here and ask you, do you have any concerns about the influence of the world today on your family? Yes or no? You better say yes. Otherwise, we need to take you down to Walmart and get you an alarm clock so you can wake up. Now, I am living with 3,000 college students. And I would have to say, these are pretty good students. But the influence of the world is all over them. Of the society in which they're coming out of. Of what they're coming to school with. And the influence of this world. And the writer of this psalm is reflecting a burden that God's people have, and that is the influence of the wicked on their own people. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. And so that leads me to my second point, and that is not only the setting of the psalm, but the security of the believer. Where do we find stability and strength and security? And notice what he tells us in verses 1 and 2. He says that God is our confidence, and he sets forth two visible images. The first image is an immovable mountain. The second image is an impregnable city. Notice what he says in verse 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. What is Mount Zion? It is the mountain on which the city of Jerusalem is built. And what he is saying is that God is our rock. That God is beneath us to support us. That the Lord is under us and He is our firm foundation. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. that you and I as a believer have in God and in His Word an unshakable, immovable foundation. It speaks of the permanence of our God. He is an unchanging rock. We know Peter learned this. Peter was a very insecure man. You say, how do you know? Because he was always running his mouth. You know, people that talk too much are usually insecure people. And Jesus taught him that he was the solid rock, not Peter, but himself. For he said in Matthew 16, verse 16, he says, you are Peter, that means little rock, and upon the rock I will build my church. And who is the rock? Well, Peter tells us, for he writes later in his own epistle in 1 Peter 2 and verse 6, he says, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Who is the immovable rock? It is Jesus Christ. And so when you face these shake-up times, do you have a rock that you run to that is stable and secure for you? Last Saturday night, I attended the funeral of a very dear and precious friend of mine. He passed away on Wednesday, a week ago. 52 years old, pastor of the Oak Ridge Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, Pastor Tom Craig. I've known Tom for probably 27 years. We'll forgive him. He was a University of Tennessee fan and a University of Michigan fan. That's two strikes. But he's a great pastor. He called me about the 15th of June and he said, Steve, I'm dying. He said, I have pancreatic cancer. And of course, if you know cancer, that's a sure death. So that next Sunday, I drove up to his church and spent the weekend with him, preached in his church on Sunday, and that was the last time I saw him. I texted him. But pancreatic cancer is brutal. Ate away his body. Brought him down to almost skin and bones. And went to be with the Lord Wednesday a week ago. I texted him about a week before he died and I just wrote in the text and I just said, Tom, I want you to know it's been a privilege to be your friend. I said, we have been able to serve God together. I said, you have fought a good fight. You have finished your course. You've kept your faith. And you've kept the faith. I said, I want to give you a word of encouragement because you're facing death's door. And right now, it is no longer about how faithful you're going to be, but it's about how faithful he's going to be. And I quoted him a little line from a song. It's a bluegrass song. Classic. I'm not holding on to Jesus, but he's holding on to me. I says, you are going to go into eternity because God is not going to lie to you. And what he said to you, he will do. He is faithful. My friend, in a shaking world, you have a God that is like Mount Zion. He won't move. By the way, guess what? Mount Zion's still there. I've been there. I was there last spring. City of Jerusalem's still there. Nations that have come and conquered it have come and then they crumbled and now they're dust, but they're still there. God's people are still there. You know why? Because when God makes promises, He keeps them. We have, first of all, an immovable mountain. But then notice the second image is found in verse 2. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth forevermore. The second image we have is the city of Jerusalem. But notice not just the city, but He said the mountains are round about Jerusalem. That is, the city was secure because the Lord was surrounding them. You may or may not know this, but the city of Jerusalem is really set in a saucer of hills. Jerusalem's at the bottom of the cup, and all around it are mountains. And so when you, if you've ever been there to the city, you've got it in your mind that all around it are these mountains, and God put the city not above, but below. God's people are always placed in a point of vulnerability. I mean, an army, what does an army have to do to conquer it? It's not that complicated. And God put his people in a place where they had to learn to be dependent. Why? So that they would recognize that the Lord is their protector. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. If you know the story of Elisha, who was in the city of Dothan, that's not Alabama, by the way. He had a servant. We don't know his servant's name. But we know the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, and his army marched to the city and surrounded it at night. At the break of day, Elisha's servant goes outside the city gates to draw water, and he sees the enemy soldiers, and he was terrified. He ran and said to Elisha, "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" And the prophet replied, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And God opened the eyes of the servant of Elisha, and what did he see? He saw the hills full of horses and chariots, and the angels of God encamped around those that fear him, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. Our security is clear. God is for us because God is under us, and God is around us. He is both permanent, he doesn't move, and he is our protector. He is always there. You know, one of the good things about preaching is that you know that whenever you preach to people, they always have troubles. And I don't know where you are in your life. Your pastor hasn't told me, but if you're like most people, there are people in this room who are going through shakeups of all kinds. Of all kinds of trials, all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of opportunities for new fears. And Psalm 125 was given for pilgrims as they're making their way to the city of God. And they're going through shake-up times, and the Lord is with them. The Lord will not move. And that leads me to the last point, and that's found in verses 4 and 5. Where he gives us, I would say, somewhat of an instruction. What are we to do? And simply, he says in verse 4, he says, you're to pray. Notice he says, "Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good and to them that are upright in their hearts." God, do good. That is, Lord, bless us. It means give us good things. "Do good, O Lord, to those that be good." What does he mean by those? Those who are keeping Torah. Those Jews who are walking and seeking to walk in obedience to the Lord. And I think there's a very important lesson here for all of us, and that is when we go through confusing, shake-up times, that the simplicity of the believer's faith is found in his obedience to God. Simply this, I don't know what's going to happen, but I got to obey God. I just got to do what God says. My security is found in the Lord. God is my strength. God is my shield. What else am I going to do but simply trust God? That's what I got to do. I got to obey God. I got to believe God. I don't know what you're going to do, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm just simply going to trust God and obey Him. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good. Lord, we are trusting You as we are obeying You. So easy for us to get shook up. And suddenly we go out and make a rash decision, and we find out later it was a very bad decision. When God wants us to fall back on Him and trust Him in a confusing age, the simplicity for the believer is found in his obedience. And then he closes with a benediction. And he simply says, "But peace shall be upon Israel." What does the word peace mean? It's the Hebrew word shalom. It means wholeness, wellness. It means things are right. We're good. We're healthy. And the blessing of peace is given to the people of God who trust in Him at all times. Maybe tonight you're going through a struggle with a child. And you've done all that you know. What is God doing? You're fearful, afraid. He's going to give you peace, but you have to trust Him. We're to trust God in uncertain times. As I finish tonight, I want to give you just a little story from a book that I recently read. The author's name is Thomas Cahill. The book is a bestseller, national bestseller. The title of it captured my attention. It's called How the Irish Saved Civilization. I didn't know the Irish saved anything. In the book, he wrote about a man named Patrick. Patrick was a young Roman who brought Christianity to Ireland. He was captured in England by some slave traders when he was only 16 years old. And these slave traders were Irish pirates. They took him to Ireland, and there they made him work as a slave for an Irish chieftain. He escaped after 6 years, and he returned back to his family, but it was then at that time that God called him to go back to Ireland as a missionary. It was a very unusual time in human history because Rome was being conquered, and they were being overrun by the Germanic tribes that were coming down and conquering it. And it was that time of his life, it was that time, a period of human history where there was this collapsing of the Roman Empire. And then there was this concern of these wild, fierce natives of Ireland. And really, Patrick had no outward security, but he persevered in his calling, and he served in Ireland until he was 76 years old and died. And in the 30 years of his ministry, the book says that God used Patrick to change Ireland so thoroughly that, as Thomas Cahill reports in his study, as the Roman lands went from peace to chaos, the land of Ireland was rushing even more rapidly from chaos to peace. And why? Because of the unprecedented opportunity he had to propagate Christ's gospel in the midst of a collapsing culture. When the culture is collapsing, what do we need to do? Preach the gospel even more. And where did Patrick find strength in such times? And I think the answer is found in a surviving prayer known as St. Patrick's Breastplate. And I'll close tonight with this beautiful prayer that I think sums up Psalm 125. It goes like this. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to save me from the snares of the devil, from temptations of vices, from everyone who shall wish me ill. Christ to shield me today against poison, against burning, against drowning, against wounding, so that there may come to be abundance of reward. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise. I arise today through a mighty strength. This is the same security given to the people of God throughout the ages so that they can be like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but they endure forever. Thank God we have in Him, during shaking times, we have an unshakable foundation. Father, we thank You tonight for Your unchanging nature, for Your immutability. We thank You that You are like Mount Zion that shall not be moved. You're like the city of Jerusalem. You surround us. You are around us. You are under us. Lord, help us to trust in You, not to lean on our own fears and on the circumstances of the time, but to trust in You. God gives strength and stability, greater stability, to the people here. Strengthen the hands of the pastor in his work. And I pray, Lord, that there'll be a testimony to the world that they have an unshakable foundation. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.